Is there anything better than playoff football in Cleveland, especially when the Browns are in the playoffs? We are back with another edition of the WFMY podcast, Instant Insights Edition with Josh and Joe, presented by Evergreen Podcast. I'm still at a loss. I know we talked about this last week, Joe. The Browns and playoffs, it's weird to put them in the same sentence.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think about it. This team has fought through so much stuff this year, and to be in playoffs in Kevin Stefanski's first year, it's crazy, man. I can't believe we're here. We made it. It wasn't pretty all the time, but damn, they took care of business, and that's all that matters, man.
Let's be honest. It's Cleveland. Is anything ever pretty or easy when it comes to the postseason?
Never easy. I was like going in like midway through this game. I was like, this is going to come down to the last drive. Like, there's no way this is not going to do that.
I was thinking, oh man, this is going to come down to a Cody Parkey field goal to either go home or go to the playoffs. That's it. That was my thinking.
I know. I was terrified of that too. Luckily, when they had that drive, it was just. They're up 8, so we couldn't lose it on that drive. So, yeah, that was – I think every
Cleveland Browns fan would think we can't lose it on that drive. Right. Being a Browns fan. But seriously, 11-5, Stefanski.
It's crazy.
I mean, Stefanski has to be the coach of the year. I know McDermott and the Bills are up there, but being the first-year head coach, right. 3 years removed from 0-16 – you not only lead the team to 11-5, but you lead them to a postseason berth. And people can say, well, it's an expanded postseason, but even if it wasn't, the Browns would still be the sixth seed. They'd still be in the playoffs no matter what.
Right. Yeah. We make the playoffs anyway. This he definitely deserves it. I don't know who else would even be come close to him. Especially during the pandemic, getting this team into playoffs is just it's crazy. This franchise hasn't been there in, 18 years? And he does it his first year. I think I saw he's already the third most wins of since 99.
I don't know if that's like a compliment or like – I don't know if he should be like proud of that or not.
I know. If
that's like something to be proud of.
It's just insane. It shows you how much he deserves this award. Like what this franchise has gone through and what he did just his first year. It's remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, I know they added to the offensive line this offseason, but even if you add in Denzel Ward was hurt a lot this season, he had COVID. So we missed today's game. They were without Grant Delpit. They were without Greedy Williams. So yes, the defense was bad, but the linebackers are going to be suspect from the beginning. They were without both of their cornerbacks, a safety, which is why Andrew Sandejo had to play, unfortunately, for all of us.
Right.
I mean, unless you have like a defensive line that has 4 Myles Garrett on it, your defense is going to struggle.
Right. Yeah. And they overcame it, which is just wild to think about. There's so many times this season where you thought, okay, this might not go well, or I don't know if they could do it. But they overcame every obstacle. These last 2 weeks have just been brutal. It's every week we're holding our breath. Every day, actually, we're holding our breath. Oh God, is there any more COVID news or anything like that?
I'll be honest. I woke up this morning thinking, oh, who's going to be the next positive test today?
Right. It was just one day after another. You would get like a first report. Okay, there's no ones, and then you'll get later in the day. Oh, Denzel's out. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah.
He's only our number one cornerback.
Right. It was just this week has been so long just getting here. Luckily, the Buckeyes took care of business, and they made our week better. But yeah, that was it started off very rocky.
Yeah, speaking of, I'm going to backtrack a little. You said Kevin Stefanski and overall record. I saw a tweet earlier. Kevin Stefanski's 11 wins in his first season are more than 7 Browns head coaches had in their entire Browns tenure. That is an incredible stat. That deserves to be like, if he is named the NFL Coach of the Year, You just have to say that.
Right. It's crazy. Like, that should give you bonus points. Seriously, getting the Browns to the playoffs should get you, like, a leg up on anything, any award or anything like that. It's crazy. Just, we were 0-16, what, 3 years ago? I think it is.
Three years removed from 0-16, and now the Browns are the number 6 seed in the AFC playoffs.
It's wild. It's awesome. I can't wait till next week, man.
And do you know what's even better? I know it was discussed a little bit on Twitter as well. The Browns made the playoffs, but they did just enough to get the third place in AFC North, so they get an easier schedule next year.
Yep. Thinking
chess, not checkers.
Three steps ahead of everybody, man.
The Browns are usually like 5 steps behind, but Stefanski is like 3 steps ahead, just like Joe said.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously,
yeah.
I mean, making the playoff, I mean, it obviously would have been nice to be. I think the Ravens are the 5th seed, right? So it would have been nice to be the 5th seed, I guess. But if you're looking ahead, too, not only did you make the playoffs, but now you get an easier schedule next year.
Right.
Although I did see that they still have to play the Chiefs and like 2 other good teams on the road. So I guess it's not that much easier. But all right. So enough talking about next year, even though we are waiting for next year. But this year, we are not waiting for next year. We are talking playoffs.
Yes, Steelers, back-to-back weeks.
Steelers, part 3, back-to-back weeks. I feel like, speaking of today, but I guess we should talk about this game. It was ugly. It's as simple as that. It was ugly. The Browns didn't look good, but I feel like they didn't really – I don't know if they like knew that they were going to win, and they knew that most likely if they won, they'd play the Steelers. So I feel like they were holding stuff back.
I actually do agree with that. I know it's weird to think, they weren't putting everything out there, but it really did. Like, Chubb only getting 12 carries, no screen passes we saw. The pass game was not, like, a really intricate, like, we didn't see many reverses or anything like that. So I can see Stefanski being the smart analytical guy that he is, holding stuff back, and we could see next week this offense.
Hold on, Joe. Aren't analytics for losers? That's what I've been told.
That's true. Not anymore. You know, look at the Bills. We got the Bills in the playoffs, the Browns, two analytical.
I'm not going to mention any names, but I've been told via Twitter that analytics are for losers.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills looked really good, but
I'm a little bit happy that we're avoiding the Bills the first game.
True, they look red hot right now.
They rolled a Miami team who's been playing all right lately. They just rolled past them. So yeah, it was. I really like this matchup for the Browns getting Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has played really badly, really not badly, but they just haven't been the same team since they lost their first game. It's a different team.
You hate to see that, right? You just hate to see it.
I hate it. Hate to see it. But yeah, I like this matchup. It's obviously going to be tough. Big Ben's going to be back, so they'll have a competent quarterback today. But I have to say,
Hold on. I'm going to stop you. Competent is kind of up there. I'd say average at best, but continue.
Yeah. But I would say Mason looked all right, but it was against a really bad Browns defense. We won't even get into them today. But yeah, I really like the matchup. They don't really oppose a big threat on the ground, which is helpful. So the Browns can just worry about the pass game. But and then the defense, it's going to be about the trenches, I think, again, getting to the quarterback and then just blocking that great pass rush, which they kind of struggled with, which was not a great sign today. They were struggling against the backups.
Yeah, even if they were playing vanilla stuff, the Browns offensive line struggled against a defensive line that's going to have TJ Watt or Cameron Hayward. So that's, I'm just trying to think positive, but that is not a good look.
Yeah, it was not good. Hopefully But obviously, this is what the first week we've had the full line in a couple weeks now. So maybe they're just not into the in the groove yet. So hopefully, a good week of practice will help out. But yeah, they can't let the first game return where they just got blown off the line of scrimmage by T.J. Watt and company. They need to be strong because they can't let Baker get drilled all day because it's going to be a long day then.
Speaking of practice, I'd like to mention that the Browns had only 2.5 hours of practice this week, so maybe that's why they were a little bit vanilla. Not only did they not want to show stuff to the Steelers, but they literally were on the field together for less than 3 hours this whole week.
Yeah, that's something we can't overstate, like, or understate. That's tough, man. They just have not – these last 2 weeks have just been awful. We've had – I think they had two practices delayed. One of them was canceled. It's been a tough couple weeks, and just getting any continuity and flow, it just wasn't able to be done. So hopefully this week, cross our fingers, everybody Browns fans, that we can get through this week without anybody or getting COVID or getting in contact with anybody. We just have a clean week of practice. Hopefully get some guys back. We'll see. Depending on the game, I think the day that the game is. But
speaking of breaking news, come in live. Brown Steelers Sunday night.
Sunday night. Oh yeah, there we go.
8:15 start. So I guess that's good.
That's huge.
Sunday wise, that's good because Denzel Ward could be back.
That's huge. Yeah, definitely. I think that's right on 10 days or it is. Something close.
I think him and Alvin Kamara, because with the Saints, Alvin Kamara got it around the same time, and they said that if the Saints play Sunday with the Browns, they could both potentially be back as long as they pass all the tests and stuff. But if it's Saturday, I don't think they could have.
Right. Yeah. So that's huge. So, hey, look at that. We're breaking news on the podcast today.
And speaking of, I might need a couple glasses or a couple shots next Sunday because I'll have Ohio State and the Browns in a 24-hour span.
Oh, boy.
That's either, like, really good or it could be, like, the worst 24 hours in the Cleveland / Ohio State sports fan's life.
It's gonna be a wild ride.
Seriously, 8:15 Sunday night, Browns Steelers, 8 – nice. Like 8:20-ish Monday night, Ohio State, Alabama in the national championship.
That's wild.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I'm ready for that.
Yeah. How could you, man? That's like, when have we ever seen this? We haven't. We literally haven't.
The last time the Browns were in the playoffs, Ohio State was beating Miami in the national championship, and I was 11 years old. I literally do not remember that.
No, I remember the championship game, but I do not.
I do. See, I'm the same way. I remember the championship game. I don't know if I didn't watch the Browns game, but I do not remember the Browns game.
I do remember the Browns playoff game. They were close. It was actually Pittsburgh, so hopefully we can get a revenge.
But maybe back. It's one of those things where my mind has just, like, tried to forget all Browns games. So that just got, like, thrown in the trash. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. Let's hope we have better luck this year, this time around. But yeah, this is good. Enjoy this one, this next weekend, guys, because this is special stuff that we have never, never.
I'm already nervous, and we're 7 days out.
I know, right?
That 24 hours is going to be ridiculous.
It really is. Yeah, back to back days, man. I can't even get into it. Like, can we imagine?
We talked last week. Man, next week, as in this weekend, has a chance to be a really good weekend. Ohio State Friday night, Browns Sunday, and it was.
Yeah.
Could they go back to back weekends? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But
it's 2021. Oh, man. It's a new year, baby.
2021 is off to a great start, I must say.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun, man. So that, yeah, getting that game on Sunday night is huge. If they can get Denzel Ward back, that's a huge bonus for the Browns because their corners were struggling.
I think struggling would be putting it like very, very nicely.
Yeah.
But that said, they only had one healthy cornerback who has played a snap this year.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, you could say the Steelers were playing a lot of backups, but they were playing all their receivers. They had Washington, they had Juju, they had the TikTok dancer Juju Smith-Schuster, they had Claypool. I guess they didn't have Eric Ebron. He tested. I'm assuming he'll be back because he tested positive for COVID as well. But I mean, they still had their good receivers. So they played their good receivers against the Browns' second, third stringers, basically.
Yeah, it was rough watching them. But there were, I have to give them the defense kudos. Obviously, they kind of fell apart late in the game. But they stepped up in the first half when the offense was struggling. We saw, three field goals in the first half, a couple stops. So that was huge to keep the Browns in the game, keep the lead, because the offense was struggling early on. And it was good to see the defense step up, even without their whole secondary out pretty much.
The thing about the defense struggling is that we can't just blame Andy Sandejo like we have for much of the year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, now we can blame the injuries.
Yeah, exactly. Now we can blame injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing that scared me the most about – I guess the offense was very vanilla, Browns offense, but they let their second, third-string defensive line get to Baker. That is not good.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. That was one of the big takeaways from today. They got to shore up that offensive line. They got to play better. They can't let Pittsburgh get after Baker and just force, because you can create turnovers that way. And yeah, they gotta do better than what they showed today.
We'll just chalk it up as being vanilla. That's it. That's strong. But I mean, I feel like on this offense, one of the things that we could always lean on was, oh, the offensive line will play well. I think tonight or today, that just wasn't the game. I don't know what it was. I don't want to dig too far into it because it was a weird game. They had 2.5 hours of practice all week. That combo, I feel like, probably played into it a bit. So I don't want to read too far into it, but still, it's still worth monitoring.
Yeah, definitely. It's something to monitor because it might be probably the key to the victory. How well they play in the trenches on both sides of the ball, because Steelers are built in the trenches on both sides, and they need to step up and against this really solid Steelers team.
Oh, speaking of COVID as well, Joe Hayden was tested positive yesterday, I think, so it might be close for him to be back as well. I think he's out. It was yesterday, but that'll be interesting as well, because that's a big loss for them, because their secondary is already not that great besides Minka. So if they're without former Brown Joe Hayden, Hopefully Baker and Co can take advantage of it. I guess we'll see.
Right. Yeah, and they did today. You can, because Baker, they put the ball in Baker's hands late in the game. They didn't do the run it out type of game. They put it in his hands and he delivered for the most part in the second half. He made some plays. He missed some throws, but overall he made the right play, which was a key. You couldn't give turnovers to this team. You couldn't help out Pittsburgh's offense. So not giving away the ball was huge. And his decision, his running ability was huge today, which was good to see.
Suspect. It's been very suspect this year. He usually fumbles it a lot, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, it was super important for him to keep the ball. That was pretty much why they won the game. They didn't make big mistakes that gave Pittsburgh easy points. So we need that next week.
Speaking of Baker running the ball, I was very surprised given how many times he's fumbled it this year. I think it's been, I don't know the exact number, but I feel like Baker's fumbled it a lot on scrambles and just running the ball. I'm surprised they gave it to him. I'm surprised they gave it to Baker on such a crucial, like that game-clinching play.
Yeah, I think that shows their confidence in him. Like last year, I don't think they would do that. if they were coaching.
All right, hold on. Oh, I was just saying, okay. We're talking Freddie Kitchens here. Okay, I get what you're saying.
We would see like a four wideouts there and like do a streak play or something like that last year if they had the coaches. But it shows that the coaching staff believes in Baker and believes that he will make the right choice, and they did. That was a great play call, man. It was getting that outside rush for the quarterback. I wouldn't have thought that would be the play call. So that was a great play call to get it sealed the deal and make the playoffs. That was huge.
Yeah, and speaking of, I was thinking of blocking on that play. Harrison Bryant should be back next week as well. That is a big addition, mm-hmm. big time addition back because of how often Stefanski uses two tight ends and even three tight ends.
Yeah, definitely. They need all the pass catchers that they can get. Especially, I don't know how what Donovan Peoples-Jones status is. He's been tweeting afterwards that he's
I think they already diagnosed him with a concussion. So
right.
That so he's could a be concussion if he's protocol. Back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be like unless he somehow gets out of it in less than 7 days, I'm assuming he will not be back.
Yeah, which is because he's been playing really well. So that's a crusher there. And then let's hope Vernon's all right too. He was carried off today and carted off.
I forgot about Vernon. Yeah, he is getting an MRI tomorrow morning. I saw on his ankle. I think it's his ankle. Not his ankle. He's getting an MRI tomorrow morning. So yeah, that I totally forgot to bring that up. That is either way, it's either a huge to have him back or that is a huge loss, especially given how he's played lately.
Yeah, he's been the best. Like because Miles hasn't played every game, he's been the best defender consistently for the past month or so.
That's not saying too much, Joe.
Sure, I know, but he's been balling out, man. And it would be crushing if they couldn't get him for the playoff game. It did not look good. I was at the game today, and he didn't put any weight on it. He was carted off the sideline. So hopefully he gets a miraculous LeBron ankle health. We see him this week and he can play. But yeah, it did not look good. They need him though.
I feel who would start opposite of Myles Garrett? Adrian Claiborne?
It would probably be Claiborne. Which he's definitely a capable spot in starter, but that just hurts your depth. It forces Porter Gustin to step up, which he hasn't really done lately. It just puts more pressure on the depth chart and the Browns just don't have that depth at that position. I think Claiborne could fit in and do all right. He won't fill in perfectly for Vernon, but yeah, the overall depth would be greatly affected by Vernon not playing.
So let's just hurl somehow. Thins aren't as serious, and Vernon's okay. That's right. What Joe. That's the. I'm summarizing Joe there.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. We gotta hope for the best there.
On a defense that's already been bad, they can ill afford to have any more injuries to key players.
Yeah,
but then again, we know it's gonna be a shootout. The Browns' offense just—I mean, this sounds cliche. The Browns just have to outscore the Steelers.
Yeah,
but they do.
It's true.
The defense is going to give up probably around 28 to 35 points. The Browns Browns offense has to outscore.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be on the offensive shoulders next week. The good point on the defense, the good news is we'll likely get both Malcolm Smith and B.J. Goodson, I believe, should be back next week, crossing our fingers again. If they get off the COVID list. So that would be helpful because playing Mac Wilson is not great. he played a lot today and he only, I think, got like a couple tackles, which is hard to do.
As a linebacker. There's a reason linebackers are always the leading tacklers.
Right. He was in position for several and he missed several tackles today. So, yeah, The good news, Jacob Phillips played really well. We were talking about that in our Slack channels. He played a really good game today, so that was good to see. They need someone to step up at linebacker. So it'll be hopefully good news that we hear those linebackers come back. But yeah, overall, it's going to be a shootout next week, and this offense has to put up the points to win.
I think it'll be first team 38 wins. I won't say 40. I'll say 38. I don't think it'll be a low score. There's no way. I mean, if it's low scoring, I feel like that's a bad news for the Browns. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say probably 30. I would say 32. First one to 32 would be.
32 is such a weird number. Are you expecting to see or what?
I am.
And speaking of next week, I just looked up the weather. It's high of 37, low of 28. No rain, no snow. So it'll probably by like Sunday night, it'll probably be like low 30s, high. Yeah, it's supposed to be cold, but no precipitation, which I guess is good.
Yeah. What about the wind? That's the key.
That's true.
Yeah. So that'll be good news for the offenses. Although if it was bad weather, that might play better for the Browns. Because Pittsburgh has a non-existent run game, and the Browns have Nick Chubb, so that would have been helpful. But
speaking of Nick Chubb, can we just remind Kevin Stefanski that Nick Chubb is actually a Cleveland Brown? It's hard to hate on Kevin Stefanski, but over the last 2 weeks, it's like he like forgot that number 24 was actually like donning the orange and brown.
Right. I feel like he was like holding him back, just trying to like not get him hurt for the playoff run. I don't know. It was super odd. Especially in the first half, they went towards Kareem Hunt way too often. Kareem Hunt is good, but he's not Nick Chubb as a runner.
Kareem Hunt's good. We all know that. But as a runner, I'd say the carry should probably be like 75-25. And lately, the last two games, they've been like 50-50.
Right. I'm hoping it changes in the playoffs because it's now or never. There's no next week holding them off for next week. So hopefully we'll see them get the brunt of the carries there because they need great Nick Chubb next week. They need great Baker to pull off this win. But it should be fun. I can't wait.
It was weird. Like even on that game, a drive that could have clinched the game when they were up 8 and all they needed to do was kill a clock and either get a field goal or get a touchdown. Nick Chubb was on the sidelines wearing a coat while Kareem Hunt was in on almost every play. It was like, and nothing was said after the game, like Nick Chubb was hurt or anything. So I just don't understand that. I really didn't.
It seriously looked like Stefanski was holding stuff back. He was holding Nick Chubb back. Like it's crazy to me that he would do that in a win. You got a win game, but it seriously looked like on a lot of the stuff he did today. We'll see next week if that happens. But yeah, I would love this. I know they like to go towards Hunt receiving wise, but Chubb has done really well as a receiver. And anytime you can get the ball in his hands, it's a smart idea. So I would hope that they were just holding him back a little bit, not trying to get hurt or anything, and then we'll see a full array of Nick Chubb next week.
Hopefully that's the case. Maybe he was just thinking ahead and keeping him fresh for next week. I don't know. But it was just really weird that literally the biggest drive of the game when the Browns could have put the game away, Nick Chubb was standing on the sidelines. It was just really odd to me.
Right, and they passed it. It was mostly the passing game too. They put it in the hands of Baker, which he did pretty well. Then they got stalled out. But yeah, it was super odd. they were trying to run the clock out, which they did well at, but they never really ran it in that possession a lot.
Yeah. The Steelers should have never gotten the ball back in the first place to almost tie it up, minus a 2-point conversion, let alone.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's hard for me to question Kevin Stefanski because he's been so great this season. But that was just, I know it wasn't just me. There is everyone on Twitter was saying, why is one of the best running backs in the NFL on the sidelines for such an important drive?
Yeah, it was super. A lot of this game had a lot of like, what? What are we doing here?
And speaking of what, I did not see Mason Rudolph outplaying Baker and throwing for 315 yards.
I don't know if he outplayed him, but yeah, he played a lot better than I thought he would. He made some really good balls that I did not think he had in him. under pressure, he had some good deep balls. It was interesting to watch. I don't. We'll see next week with Big Ben, but we'll see how much difference it is because Mason played better than I thought he would. He was still not great, or still not really good either. But yeah, he played better than I thought he would, which is gives it to him, but we'll see how much better Big Ben is compared to Mason next week.
I don't know, Marty. I'm just thinking ahead of next week. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think. The Browns are in the play. The good thing is that I feel like the last few weeks, the pressure has been on the Browns. Against the Giants, it was like you cannot lose to the Giants.
Right.
And it was basically a must win. Against the Jets, it was like, oh, my gosh, you can't lose to the Jets. It's the freaking Jets, and they lost. Yeah. And then, obviously, this week was a must-win, and it turned out to be a must-win because the Colts won.
Yep.
So they've had the pressure on them the last 3 weeks of the season after the Ravens game. And now I feel like next week they might go out there. I mean, if they win, awesome. If they lose, it's expected. You know what I mean?
Right.
Steelers.
Right, the expectations was for the fans was make the playoffs, and they did, and the pressure, like you can see all the celebration today. A lot of people are saying, "I don't care whatever happens the rest of the way." Like, there's no pressure on the Browns right now. Pittsburgh is supposed to win. They're a higher seed. They're the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're the Cleveland Browns. You would expect them to win. So there's no pressure on this Browns team, which is I think that's when they play best, man. When there's no pressure, it's just they're playing free. I think we might see a really, really exciting offense next week and a really exciting Browns.
I mean, let's be honest, it's January 3rd, and we're talking playoffs and not the NFL draft the past 5 weeks. So that alone shows our expectations every season.
How about it's January 3rd and we don't know what position the Browns are drafting in yet? All right. Like that's wild to me.
We're on like mock draft 7.0 by now.
I know we really are. Yeah. It's awesome, man. Just being in this position, it's awesome. I can't believe we're here.
It is, and speaking of the draft, I remember last year at this time we were interested in WFNY Slack, like players to watch in the national championship for who the Browns could draft. Now, obviously, I'm not going to be thinking that because Ohio State's in it, but I'm not going to freaking care.
No,
I'll be like, just look at every single defensive player. That's probably someone you want to keep an eye on.
Yeah. It's awesome. We're playing football, man, and we have plans for next weekend. We have plans for a wild card weekend. We haven't had that in 18 years. That's awesome to think about. Usually this weekend is about, when's he getting fired? Who's the next coach? Is the owner going to sell a team?
When is he getting fired? Let's be honest. The Browns coach would have already been fired by now. The game's been over for like 5 hours.
I know that. I have to say the Browns were really good at that. They once the game ended, it would be like around this time we would be like, okay, he's been fired.
Yep.
So yeah, it's an awesome feeling. Just I'm watching these other coaches getting talked about being fired, and we're not in it. This is amazing.
It's the little things when you're a Browns fan.
It's the little things, man.
I mean, we are not a team that expects to fire their coach every year. It's crazy, mind blowing.
Right. We have a coach of the year this year.
That is crazy. I see. I want to write an article on that this week. Hopefully, I'll find some time.
Yeah,
but it would be hard to convince me otherwise that Kevin Stefanski should not be the coach of the year.
Right. We talked about it before the pod today. I don't see him not winning. Like, there's a lot of great coaches out there. Like McDermott for the Bills has been great. Stefanski, all the stuff that this franchise has been through, and then just this season, all the stuff that we've been through, and getting to 11 wins with the Browns, he's a shoo-in. He better win it.
I feel like the only other candidate for the award is McDermott, right? I'm trying to like think very quickly here. It's got to be only McDermott.
I'm thinking, yeah. I can't really think of anybody else that would be. I'm trying to think of bad teams that have been good, but like, yeah, this is it, man.
It's uncharted territory for the Browns. So that's, I mean, when it's not just this year, it's where the Browns have been for the last 18 years, let alone the last 3 years. Right. I mean, yeah. The Browns are literally 3 years removed from having an 0-16 parade, and now they're 11-5 and in the playoffs.
Right. That's crazy. It's just a change of – it showed, like, how important getting people to work together is. Like, that was the point of last offseason. They put the organization together. Like, the GM – how many years have we seen? What, 17 probably – years where we've seen the GM not be able to hire the head coach, so they're like fighting with each other. It's a power struggle, and we'll see a firing. So it was huge last season. The Browns got Stefanski. That was from DePodesta. He kind of wanted him there, and then getting a general manager that works well together. So that was. Andrew Berry was a huge addition, and it shows. Like, you gotta have a stable franchise. Like, look at Pittsburgh. Like, they haven't had a change. And
Pittsburgh's had like three coaches since like the 1700s. It seems like.
Right. I know. Yeah, it's wild. And then look at the Bills. The Bills haven't had a new coach. They hired their GM and their coaches together. It's so important that everyone's working in the same direction, and the Browns finally figured it out after 18 strong years.
Do you know what made me realize that the Browns finally figured it out? Not only going 11-5 and making it to the playoffs today, is that while scrolling through Twitter after the game, I saw that the Browns, I think it's the vice president of player personnel or something like that,
right? Yeah, being
interviewed for another GM job. I was like, right. That's when you know you made it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually getting guys taken from us rather than us searching around.
Yeah, if you're front office guys, if you're like vice president of something is interviewing for another team's GM job, that's very good news for your team.
Yeah, that's huge. It just shows how much people respect this front office and this whole franchise now. And we're not talking about the owner. Like, when's the last time we've talked about Jimmy Haslam? Like, usually by now we're like, he needs to sell a team, or he has no idea what the heck he's doing. He figured it out last offseason, and we don't talk about him, which is what owners should do. We shouldn't be talking about the owners.
There's three things where if you don't talk about them in football, that's good news, and it's the owner, the kicker, and the punter. If you're not talking about those three guys, it's very good long news. Snapper. Well, yeah, shout out to the lawn snappers. I forgot about those guys. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. If you're being talked about as a lawn snapper, I don't even want to know what's going on there.
True. Shout out to Charlie Hewitt.
Yeah, if you're – Jimmy hasn't been talked about. And, I mean, that's good. He's doing everything behind the scenes. Usually right. It's easy to blame him, but now we're saying good things about him when we do talk right. about him. So.
Yeah.
Just yeah. So – this is all just such new territory.
Yeah, shout out. He got a game ball today, too, Jimmy Haslam.
I did see that.
Yeah, so, it's just the turnaround in less than a year, because I think he was hired in late January, I think, somewhere around there. To now, it's wild to think, just this complete turnaround. Like, we're thinking last year at this time, like, this team's a mess. Is Baker the guy? What are we gonna do with this offense? They have no identity. They don't know what to do. The defense is a mess, and now look where we're.
We're still saying the defense is a mess.
Yes, it's a playoff defense now, though.
True. Yeah, it is just weird that, like I said, I don't remember watching a Browns playoff game. So Sunday will be cool. Yeah. I mean, even if they lose, it'll still be cool.
Yeah. It's going back to week one. I know we don't talk about week one, preseason week one. Let's talk about preseason week one to now. Like, it's crazy. This team, that shows another sign of this, how good the coaching staff is. Like, the improvement that we've seen over the season is just, I've never seen a Browns team do it. Like, how many times have we seen week one blowout and they would get blown out the rest of the season?
Like, every single year since 2000.
Right. Yeah. It's
seriously, it wasn't week, they like haven't won the week one in like years.
Right. I think
it's a tradition unlike any other.
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, it's been like,
it has been a long time. I don't know the exact year, but I think it's been over a decade since the Browns won the first game of the season.
I think so. So hey, we have something to work for next year. But yeah, it's amazing where we're at right now.
Even looking at the schedule, where it's like, all right, the Browns could beat the Giants, the Jets, blah blah blah. If you would have told me that the Browns would go 11-5. After that week one loss to the Ravens, I would have said that you were drunk.
Right. Seriously, yeah. It's crazy. Like, they beat the Titans, who are in the playoffs. They beat the Colts, who are in the playoffs. They beat the Reds, or the football team.
Before you get too far ahead of yourself, I know I tweeted out a stat from the WFMY CLE account on Twitter. Derrick Henry, a 2,000-yard rusher this year. He made it look easy in 15 games. And that 16th game, the Browns, 15 carries, 60 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put a 1,000-yard rusher to 60 yards.
It was wild. Like, and that shows you that should be the game plan for this next game. They need to score quick early so they can help out the defense, because that's why Derrick Henry struggled, because they got behind early and they had to ditch it.
This team is built around having a lead early.
Right. Because
the offensive line's good, the defensive line's good, and the running backs are good. So if you get off to an early lead, you are playing right into the Browns' hands. That's why obviously it's cliche to say getting an early lead is important. But for the Browns, the 2020 Browns, if that's like the perfect plan.
Right. Yeah. Or that's not every team needs a hot start. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, they can get like a 21-point.
That's not a comparison to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know. Well, I'm just saying. But
seriously, like, the Kansas City can be down like 35-0, and I'd be nervous if I had a 35-0 lead.
I know. I would be too. But yeah, this team, they need hot starts. Today we saw it. We saw a little bit of it. They scored right off the bat. Let's hope we get a little bit more than that. A couple scores up would be huge, or a couple scores early would be huge. But yeah, they need to start fast. Put the pedal on. Put the pressure on the Steelers. Make Big Ben have to throw. Have to throw deep, have to throw a lot.
He's not throwing the ball deep.
Holy, I know.
I mean, I try. Tom Brady looked old when I watched him. Big Ben looks like he's 70 years old out there sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I'm hoping Joe Woods, the Browns defense coordinator, has watched Big Ben lately, because they should not be playing scared, like playing off or anything like that. They need to play aggressive. Because he can't throw deep. It's just like they're lollipops, like throwing downfield, or they're inaccurate. Obviously, the receivers are really good and they can make plays, but you got to play aggressive against the Steelers. And Cincinnati showed, what, 2 weeks ago, that playing aggressive is the key to beating them.
By the way, I think since that game, Cincinnati's quarterbacks have had a 0.0 passer rating. I'm pretty sure I saw that stat. I was like, how in the world did the Steelers lose to this team?
The Steelers had one of the worst droughts of a playoff team I've ever seen. They couldn't do anything. They looked like they got it going in the second half last week, but I think it helps that they didn't play this week. The full roster didn't play. So hopefully their continuity is like the Browns' today, where it kind of didn't look perfect, because the Browns will need any help they can get on defense.
And speaking of getting an early lead, I know this is probably seems something little, but I was just thinking, when you win the toss, you usually elect to defer, which means that you pick the side of the field you want to defend, but you get to decide if you want the ball or not in the second half, to start the second half, which obviously you're going to take the ball. I feel like if they win the toss, they should want the ball. Hopefully take the lead early. I mean, it's nice to have the ball to start the second half, but getting the lead early is so important for this team.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to get down in a hole. That's what happened against Steelers in the first game. They got down in a hole quickly. I think he had a pick six.
That's one of the things we don't talk about, Joe.
Right. That's true. Yeah. We don't talk about that one. We don't talk about the Jets one.
It's all the losses. It's all the losses that we don't talk about.
The Browns have 11 wins.
Speaking of the Browns being 11-5, me and Joe would just like to remind you guys that this podcast started at the beginning of this season, and it has an 11-5 lifetime record.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can send your appreciation towards us.
So Stefanski is the coach of the year. Are we the podcast of the year?
No doubt. No doubt. We're the best. We're 11-5, man. We've never had a losing season.
True. And we've never lost in the playoffs so far.
That's true.
We have an undefeated record in the playoffs.
Yeah. We are the podcast of the we're the podcast. We're the MVP of the podcast.
Dave and Craig don't hear this, but even if they do, we are the most important podcast for the Browns this season.
They already know.
But seriously, yeah, next week, Joe and I might hop on this podcast again prior to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now that it's Sunday night, I guess we could even hop on Sunday afternoon and talk. Yeah. It's weird that I know we're 47 minutes into this podcast. It's still weird to me that we can talk Browns and playoffs in the same sentence.
Yeah, it's awesome. I still can't, leaving the stadium today was just – I just go back to how many times I've left that stadium just like I want to go home. I'm cold. We just got beat by 40.
Why was I here? Why did I just waste the last 3.5 hours of my life?
Right. Like, why am I a Browns fan? Yeah. It was just a complete turnaround. Everyone was happy. It's just such a different feeling leaving that building today and knowing that the Browns it's week 17 and the Browns have another game.
Speaking of being at the stadium, imagine the stadium today in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah.
If COVID didn't exist this year and the stadium was a sellout.
It was loud even with 16?
There might have been an earthquake in downtown Cleveland when Baker got that first down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was, I think that's the one downside. Obviously, there's a lot of downsides, but in terms of sports and this season, just not having those fans there sucks.
It's so Cleveland.
I know, right? I know. I wish they were there, man. They deserve all the crap that we've been through. To not have a full stadium, it sucked. But they're happy. The Browns fans are happy wherever they're at.
And speaking of Browns fans being happy wherever they're at, go listen to Jim Donovan. Anyone listening to this, go listen to Jim Donovan's final call.
right.
of the game clinching play, it'll give you goosebumps. I promise you it will. I mean, Joe Hahnemann's great at what he does, but like just hearing that, and I'm sure like I'm surprised he didn't start crying because he's been announcing every game too, and he's had to deal with all these losing seasons. I mean, I know it's tough being a fan, but imagine announcing every game over the last however many years. It's got to be so much. I mean, if you think it's bad, tough enough being a fan during this losing, imagine being a guy that announces the games.
Right. You're stuck there. You're stuck talking about it. You're like,
you're stuck talking about it and trying to be positive because if you're negative, the fans aren't going to want to listen to you.
No. Yeah. It's, he was one of my first things that I thought about this after the game. Great for him. Great for the fans, obviously. Just great for the people inside the organization that I know have been there for most of it, like the season ticket reps, the trainers and all those guys. It's just awesome that they get to finally experience this. It's been 18 freaking years.
And for the season ticket guys, are you talking about, if you're talking the season ticket sales guys, they have the easiest job in the world when they used to have the toughest job in the world.
I know. Yeah. I envied them during those 0-16, like they were in the worst positions.
Hey, come buy season tickets so you can watch our team lose in person.
Right, like how do you sell it that? And
I honestly don't know. It's like college football and college athletics. Like, how do you sell a kid to come play for you when your team's not good? Imagine like. Right. That's getting a free education. Imagine trying to sell people on paying a ton of money to go watch a team that's not good.
Right. Yeah. I thought of, which was kind of funny, the social media guys that do their accounts, like their social media, like how many times have they, I can't even imagine the comments that they get like in their DMs and all that. From these past 18 years, like I can't, well, not 18 years because social media didn't last that long, but
seriously, I just can't imagine. One of those jobs where it was like, do not read the comments, do not read the replies, nothing. Just tweet out whatever you do, post on Instagram, whatever you do, don't read anything else.
Yeah, well, they would. I think they would just put the score and that's it. I remember so many days where they would put the score. Not our day, and then they would just be done with it. Like I'm so glad for a lot of these people that they finally get to win, they finally get to playoffs, and they finally get to just experience what most of the NFL is feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Not only experience it, but their job is so much easier when the Browns are winning. If you think about it,
right.
And it's not easier, it's a lot more enjoyable. Put it that way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like I can't imagine writing your Twitter for Twitter and doing posts in the 0-16 season. Like, what do you do? Like, I can't even imagine. It's amazing that they can finally have a semi-easy job now. And it's just awesome. And we're talking about this is the first season in a long time where we were actually breaking down the game. Like play by play and stuff like that, and we're not like just talking about the overall crappiness of the team. We're breaking down each game.
If we're not about crappiness, we can always talk about point differential.
That's true, and they didn't do it, didn't they?
Yeah, I did not hear point differential, but what I did hear today, which is actually incredible to me, and I don't know if it's still the same given the score today, is that the Browns have been outscored in the first, third, and fourth quarter this year, and are still 11-5. That is incredible.
That's incredible.
Like, okay. Obviously, the point differential is like bad enough because they're 11-5. But being outscored in three of the four quarters of the game and still being 11-5, it's great. And that was like, but when I heard this, I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And let's just get an update. So our it was minus 11. We finished minus 11. We were so close. To getting positive.
So close, but yet so far away.
So far away. But I don't care, man. We're 11-5.
I'm not going to look up the history, but I wonder if that is like one of the first teams to go 11-5 or better and have a negative point differential. Because that's got to be tough.
It's got to be tough. Like, just they had 11 wins. So they had to have their five losses have to overshadow the 11 wins. That's just, it's insane, man. It's 2020 for you.
2020. Yet it turns into a Browns playoff berth.
Right.
And it turns into our longest podcast of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, I know we went on a lot of tangents tonight, but I'm just Sunday. I cannot believe we're talking Browns playoff football.
I know. I can't wait. The national channels are going to break down our games all week. We're going to be talked about all week.
Break them down. They're going to find ways to hate on the Browns. Come on, let's be honest here.
That's true. But
Bill Simmons is going to find a way to say that. Bill Belichick used to be the coach of the Browns, and the Browns stink because they fired him, blah, 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 blah.
I know. That's what it is. It's blah, 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 blah. It's just going to go right over my head because the Browns are 11-5.
We won't talk about this because this is a Browns-related podcast. But Bill Belichick. He doesn't look too good without Tom Brady, huh? I'll just leave that right there.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll leave it there.
Oh, and Josh McDaniels, I wonder how many head coaching jobs he'll be auditioning for this offseason, because I bet it's less than one.
Right. Yeah, he's not looking too good without Tom Brady as your quarterback, which is shocking, I know.
I don't want to go off on another tangent because we're talking Browns. But if you're Josh McDaniels, wouldn't you want to go get a big payday and become a head coach before Tom Brady leaves, or else this happens? I mean, that's just me. But
one would think, but I think his ego was a little too big that he thought he could do it without him.
True. We're not talking Boston teams that did not make the playoffs, even though that's very enjoyable because it has to do with Bill Simmons. But super nonetheless.
Enjoyable.
Yeah. So, Browns, dog pound, enjoy this. Yeah. Seriously, enjoy it the next 7 days. I know the team won't enjoy it. They'll be, we'll enjoy it tonight, but then we'll be back to business tomorrow. But as a fan, enjoy the next 7 days. No matter what happens in a week from now, the Browns are a playoff team. Enjoy it. We're talking playoffs on January 3rd, not the NFL draft. Enjoy it.
That's awesome. I still can't believe that we're here.
Like I said last week, I feel like if you put Browns and playoffs in the same sentence, Belichick would say that the sentence has something wrong with it.
Right.
I still believe that. I mean, it's literally been almost two decades.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, Browns fans, enjoy it. Next week, hope for the best. For me, I'm going to hope for the best, but my expectations are going to be low just because I don't want to be this. I mean, the Browns have already exceeded my expectations by a wide margin this year. I thought if they went 9-7, that would be a really good year. They went 11-5.
Right. Yeah, the goalposts have already been made. Like they hit their goal. They exceeded it by miles.
Like Cody Parkey's, if you're watching on live, Cody Parkey's goalposts are like this. The Browns goalposts are like this.
They have exceeded my expectations. 8-8 before the season. I predicted 8-8. I thought that would be optimist. I know. I'm very optimistic. But yeah, I thought 8-8 would be a good record for them. And they've blown that off out of the water. I just want to point out one thing that it is also so Browns that 11-5 just got into the playoffs. Like, it took 11 wins. That,
the AFC playoffs are loaded.
Loaded. Like, can we like trade and go in the NFC today, this week?
I'll be realist. I don't think there's any chance that the Browns can make the Super Bowl. Let's be honest. But I think they're legit. If Pittsburgh plays like they did the first 11 games of the season, Kansas City, obviously, Baltimore, if Lamar Jackson goes off, they can beat anyone. And then you have the NFC where they have like the NFC freaking. Whoever wins tonight between the Washington football team and the Eagles.
Yeah.
They either had the 10th pick in the draft or a playoff spot. How incredible is that?
Right. And the 8-8 Chicago Bears got in the wild card.
Trubisky's. Shout out to Northeast Ohio.
Shout out. Yeah. Shout out. It feels like going doing a correlation to the NBA where the West was just like incredibly stacked, and then on the East you would have under 500 teams make the playoffs. That's what it feels like. It's exactly what it is.
Oh, we can talk. If you want to talk for another hour, we can talk about the 4-2 Cavaliers, but we won't do that yet.
Cleveland, city of champions here, man. Positive.
Yeah, but speaking of, I guess I'll get this out. Podcast this week, Joe and I might be back on. Do a little playoff preview. It still sounds weird. Me and Jake Burns and possibly Joe together will be doing a fourth quarter of the Browns recap plus playoff preview. I might be on with an Ohio State guy to preview the Ohio State National Championship game against Bama. And the one and only me and SportsNam / Jeff Nomina. Jeff might be coming back to the podcast airwaves and talk Cavs. It's amazing what happens when the Cavs are winning and the Miami Dolphins are losing. He wants to talk Cavs and only Cavs.
Whoa, that's a get right there.
But seriously, so I'm hoping. I mean, obviously, my hopes are probably far greater than they should be, but I might be back on here four times this week. We'll see, to talk Ohio State, Browns twice, and Cavs. Because I mean, when the teams are winning, it's easy to talk about them, right?
Right. We talked about the social media guys having a great, like, our job. What we talk about is so much easier. Like talking about winning and playoffs, it's just so much fun. If you go through our podcast this year, like, just look how long we talk during the losses compared to the wins. It's night and day. Just talking about wins and playoffs, it's awesome. Enjoying Cleveland.
It just makes things so much easier for everyone involved.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we're on over an hour now. I think our previous song was 43 minutes. So,
right.
I think it was like 50 minutes. Oh, you brought it. See, I wanted to pop champagne, but I would not do that down here. If I was out, if it was nice weather, I would have gone outside live on camera and done it.
I can't do it.
Yeah, but seriously, Browns fans, enjoy this.
Yeah.
That's all I can say is enjoy it. Seriously, no matter what. I mean, obviously, we're all hoping the Browns win next Sunday. But no matter what happens next Sunday, the Browns exceeded expectations, and it's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. The motto last week was whatever it takes. This week it's just enjoy it, man.
This week it's enjoy it while staying healthy and not getting COVID. You have to include those two things too.
That's true. Well, that's every week, but yes.
True. But yeah, enjoy this, Browns fans. Joe and I might be back with you later this week. But yeah, Brown Steelers wild card playoff game Sunday night 8:15 NBC.
Just final game of the weekend. Can't wait.
We'll see you guys soon.
See you guys.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.